David doesn't need an introduction, but he does need your prayers. And so I do ask that you give him your careful and your prayerful attention to our brother and elder Dave Larson.
Thank you, Bob. And I hope my voice can hold out. I preached on phone church this morning, so I've been talking for quite a while. I wanted to kind of touch on the holiday we just had. Give you some history on my life experience as I grew up with a veteran. We grew up on a farm in western Nebraska where we didn't have church. And then I went on to Longview Community College to be a mechanic. And then went back to farming. Then I came to Colorado to be a water professional with a Class A license for making drinking water out of the Colorado River. And then I went back to farming. And so life has kind of made a circle for me. One thing I never thought I would be was a public speaker. I hated speech class in school, and I was always nervous and never thought that I had a good voice for it. And then I become the chief of a volunteer fire department, and so I had to go to meetings with county commissioners and in large groups all the time, get involved in politics, and I hated that. But I was able to do it. And then I was called to be an elder in the Church of Christ. And this happened to me November 14th, 1999. It was 16 years ago yesterday that I was called into service of our Lord to speak things pertaining to the words of life. I always thought I would be the last one to stand and speak and to try and be an example to others. And I've had some experiences that made me understand just what the Lord wanted. I've always been ready to stand and defend this nation. The standard that we fly to symbolize our freedom. But this Veterans Day just seems special to me, and I really didn't know why. always think of my father on Veterans Day, because he went through World War II. And I've worked with World War II veterans. And I had a neighbor that was a World War II vet, and I used to take him to the grocery store and to his doctor's appointments. Whatever he needed, I was always there. And I've lived through the Korean War, through Vietnam, through Desert Storm in Iraq. Now as we go into ISIS, and Iran, and Syria, it just keeps going on. There are rumors that Russia and China have the ability to hack into our power systems and to give us a lot of problems, which I don't doubt. And these things are all kind of discouraging. But there was a, I gave a sermon a couple weeks ago where I spoke about what Christians want to hear. And Julie handed me a paper on a poll that was taken on what Christians want to hear in the church. And it wasn't too surprising what they came up with on this Christian pollster. The top 12 things that a Christian wants to hear. And it's not about Starbucks or whether they decorate their cups with Christmas trees and with snowflakes and with pretty lights and bulbs. Because a Christian, a true Christian, understands that Christmas is not about pretty lights and trees and bulbs and things like that. It's about the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's important. We don't care about cups. The top 12 issues were, number one, abortion, the beginning of life, the right to life, contraception, adoption, unwed mothers. 91% of the people wanted to hear about this. Number two was religious persecution. Our liberty, our personal duty, our government duty, the church response, global conditions, 86% of the people want to hear about these things. Poverty, personal duty, government role, church role, homelessness, hunger, dependency, 85% of the people want to hear about these things. Number four was cultural restoration. Appropriate morals, law and order, defensible values and norms, self-government, 83% of the people want to hear these things. Number five was sexual identity, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, marriage. 82% of the people want to know more about that. Number six was Israel and its role in the world, Christian responsibility to Israel, U.S. foreign policy toward Israel, and its enemies. 80% of the people want to hear more about Israel. Number seven was Christian heritage, the role of Christian faith in American society, history, church role in U.S. development, modern-day revelations or relevance. 79% of the people want to hear these things. Number eight was the role of government and the biblical view, church-state relationships, personal responsibility and limitations. 76% of the people want to hear these things. Number nine was bioethics, cloning, euthanasia, genetic engineering, cryogenics, organ donation, surrogacy, 76% want to hear more about this. Number 10 was self-governance, biblical support, personal conduct, impact on freedom, national sovereignty, 75% want to hear these. Number 11 was church and politics, government, separation of church and state, legal boundaries, church resistance to government, 73% want to hear those things. And last but not least, number 12 is Islam, core beliefs, response to Islamic aggression, threat to U.S. peace and domestic stability. I'm not going to try to stand up here and give you all the answers, because it takes a lot of time to cover these things, and these are issues that aren't light issues. They're things that pertain to life. They pertain to the day that we live in. The one thing I can tell you, all these things were addressed by our Lord and Savior 2,000 years ago. Because he knew that this day was coming. He knew we would have need of understanding and how to apply these things to our lives, to the lives of those that we are around, our examples to others. The biggest problem is we forget. Or we say that that does not pertain to me. We become, as a natural man, an enemy of God and his authority. We try to take God out of everything. We take God out of schools, out of government, even out of church. We just want to go to church to be told that we're okay, everything's okay, and be entertained. As I mentioned, that I hated public speaking. I hated speech class. My voice was changing. I would always crack. I felt make a fool of myself when I tried to get up in front of somebody. And the kids voted me in my junior year of high school as president of the class, student councilman, all the things that I didn't want, but I didn't refuse. And I have found that the closest that I come to preaching on a street corner is when I do not realize that I am speaking. A few weeks ago, I went to look at a field that I had swathed and to see if it was ready to bale. And pretty soon, an ATV pulled up and wanted to talk to me. And then here come a pickup, and he stops on the road. He wants to talk to me. And it's a busy road. It's a road where gravel trucks are on it constantly. And I thought, how come people don't put that much effort into coming to church to associate with those that hold faith, with those that still have God in their life? How come they don't make that effort? Last Sunday, we had John and his family over for church and after church for lunch, and a pickup pulled in our driveway. And I looked at it. Well, I think that's Vern. Vern is a man that lives by himself. He's been a bricklayer all his life. And he doesn't have any relatives close by. And I've been doing his farming. He asked me last year, he said, I'm growing weeds, can you help me? And I said, yep. So went over there and we tilled up his ground and planted it. He had a wonderful crop this year. I swathed it and baled it, told him how to sell it. And he's just been enjoying that because it gives him something to do. And when I went out to his vehicle, the first words out of his mouth as I walked up to his pickup were, I thought I should see a Bible in your hand as you walk down those stairs and through the gate to my vehicle. I've never talked religion with this guy. I've never talked politics or anything like that with him. It's always been strictly business and some of the history of him and I in our lives. I told him I could find a Bible real quick if he needed one. He said, are you a believer? I said, yeah. He said, me too. Now, I know this guy's a cancer survivor. And he's got the scars to prove it. And he used to live up in Nebraska when we were lived up in there. And he was telling me about, he was a bricklayer all his life. And he said, I used to have a hobby, and it was flying hot air balloons. He said, I really enjoyed it. And they had a balloon rally at Lake McConaughey up there, which was about 27 miles from where we lived. And he said the wind come up, and he said, I got blown 127 miles north out in the middle of the sand hills where nobody could follow him. He said the state patrol followed him with a helicopter and then told his ground crew where they could find him. He said they were really, really good people. And I said, yeah, I grew up with good people in Nebraska. There's good people everywhere you go. And he said, I came over to talk to you, Dave, because I was bored. And I decided to go see Dave. I'm not shouting from the street corner, but people are aware of a kindred spirit that touches us all. And they have a desire for fellowship. And this is something that you'll find everywhere you go. I keep things once in a while off of Facebook. I'll print out something I like so that I can remember it and share it. This one that I printed out was Snoopy and Charlie Brown, and they're sitting on a wooden pier looking out over a lake, and it's a night sky full of stars and stuff. And the caption says, sometimes we need someone to simply be there, not to fix anything or to do anything in particular, but just to let us feel that we are cared for and supported. You know, that's how we can speak from the corner. That's how we can reach out to people. Just let them know that you care for them. Let them know that you understand, that you support where they are. Not there to tell them how to do anything or how to fix their life, but simply to be there. That becomes important. And it speaks pretty loud. I'm going to go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Now I want to read one verse. It's the last verse of chapter 4 of Ephesians. It's verse 32. And it says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We all have faults. We all have need of forgiveness. And so hopefully we're ready to forgive others that might have offended us somehow. We all have expectations of people that we meet, and what they should be doing, you know, to do it right and all this. But it's not always done the way we think it should be. And it's up to us to put the shoe on the other foot and to listen to what they say, to be there for them. Just give them support and say, well, I believe you're trying hard. You're going the right direction. It means a lot to people when you give them support. And they're more willing to move on and not lose hope and not be offended or discouraged. One of the greatest gifts we have is to care for someone else. I want to go over to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 and then verse 10. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You might say, I'm not my brother's keeper, but you know, in a way we are. We can't do it for them, but we can share with them. We can care for them. And we don't have to do it by shoving ourselves on other people. We do it with meekness. Verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It doesn't mean that they have to be a member of this church. It just means that they're willing to listen. They're willing to learn, to have faith. If we can do that, if we can show people that we care, and they can see those things in us, then our life is going to be a success. Do you like trees? I really like trees. Kathy's always said, I want trees to line my driveway all the way down so I can drive under them every day. You know, trees provide us with shade. They're strong. They provide us with fruit protection. We build our houses out of them. Trees give us strength. They even give us oxygen, which is necessary for life. I want to go over to Jeremiah chapter 17. Read a little bit about a tree. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8. Says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. You know, if we trust in the Lord, then we're like a tree that doesn't fear drought. We don't have fear of not being nourished, not being watered. We can continue to grow. We can produce fruit. We can produce protection. And we do it all because we know that God is the one in charge. And as long as we are faithful to Him, He'll be faithful to us. You'll preserve us, even in times of drought, times of trial. It's not unusual that we have trials. Because if we don't have trials, then we don't understand the good times. We don't understand what the Lord meant when He told us that it's not going to be easy, that you'll be persecuted for my sake. You know, it's just something that's part of life. And when you're trying to do what's right, Satan's going to be there to try to counteract that, because he doesn't want you to produce shade or strength or fruit. He wants you to be discouraged, to be destroyed. He wants the things that are important in your life to fight against you, so that you don't even care anymore. You don't go and approach someone you have a problem with and say, I understand, I support you. You know, that's one of the things the Scripture tells us that we have to do. we are to go to those that we have a difference with and try to work it out so it doesn't become something that's insurmountable. I want to go over to 2 Timothy and read about a soldier. You know, we're all soldiers for Christ if we're out there working and people can see us. They can hear us. And they want to be a part with us. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Soldiers aren't out there fighting to have a good time or to have a picnic, are they? They're out there to fight a good fight. They're out there to endure hardness. And that's what Christ expects of his soldiers too. And he says, as long as you do that, I'm going to be with you. In all that you do, I'll be there. Verse 24, the same chapter says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. That's not always easy, because we have our own emotions, we have our own opinions, we have things that affect us personally, and you take offense to it, and you get your back up, and you just, if Christ did that, would he have been willing to die for us? No, he wants his soldiers to be there, not in strife, but in gentle understanding. That's what he expects of a good soldier. So now that Veterans Day is past, we look on to Thanksgiving. I have another Facebook thing I want to read. It says, tomorrow is never promised. So today, I want all my friends and family to know how thankful I am that all of you are in my life. God doesn't promise us tomorrow, does he? He says, make today to be worthy. Find the grace I offer today. We need to be thankful for those things that God has given us. They're gifts. Even the simple things are a gift. Another Facebook thing that I copied says, I woke up. I have clothes to wear. I have running water. I have food to eat. Life is good. I am thankful. Isn't that true for all of us? Do we remember to thank God for those things? I have clothes to wear. I have running water. Yesterday our running water ran all over the place. Spent the day plumbing. But we do have running water. We have food to eat. We have shelter. And we've been given the gift of life. That's something we shouldn't take for granted. the gift of life isn't something that is guaranteed every day. If I wanted to take those top 12 things that Christians want to hear from the church and tried to tell you in so many words in a single 45-minute speech, I wouldn't get very far. Those 12 issues can be found just by reading the scriptures. By something that we can carry in our pocket, we can carry it no matter where we go. It's a gift. Our scriptures are a gift. All scripture, it says, was given by God through inspiration. And you know what? Nobody can do it for you. Even though we can stand up here and read scripture to you and tell you what it takes to make these things right in your life, we're not going to change the world, and I'm not going to change your life. That's up to you. You have to be willing to not forget, to remember who's in charge, because God's in charge of our life. Christ, as our Savior, gave His life for us so that we could have these things. I'm going to go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy again. I want to read verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. These are the things that pertain to the 12 issues that Christians want to hear. These are the things that they need to look up, to study, to contemplate on, to apply it to their life. Because nobody up here is going to apply it for them. We can remind them what they need to do, but do they feel it pertains to them? Some do, and some go on and forget. I want to go back to Colossians, third chapter. I'm going to read verses 12 and 13. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Not easy to do. Because that's just what it is. If it's a quarrel with somebody else, it's a quarrel. There's a reason why it's a quarrel. It's because you're not willing to bend or to break or to care or in meekness to go and say, I understand, brother. I understand what you're going through. That's how we live in God's mercy. We learn to trust in His grace, to take care of things, to help us with things, to help us to understand as we study, as we meet together, as we visit with our neighbors, with our friends, with those of like faith, with our family. It doesn't matter who it is, but to have that fellowship. today we see the direct results of our prayers. We look at Marlene Orr, the one that we've been praying for so much, and she's doing so much better. You think every day doesn't mean something to her? It does. Every day can be a holiday. When you wake up, you can see that there's light, that you have clothes, that you have the basic needs of life. It's a gift. God gave it to you. Today is a gift. Tomorrow's not promised. That same chapter, the third chapter of Colossians, I'm going to close with 14 through 17. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Everything we should do should be with thanks, that we have mercy, that we have grace from the one that's in charge. I hope that through this holiday season that you are blessed by God's mercy, that you feel His presence in your life, His blessings. There's going to be trials. Even as I prepared this sermon, I didn't know that Paris was under attack until I turned on the news that evening. You know, life is not going to be easy. Life is tough. And we have to put our trust right where it belongs and not forget the one that's in charge. We have to apply our thanks to every day as a gift. Because life is a holiday for all those who understand, especially for those that know how fragile life is. It's not easy for all of us to understand those things until you've touched the thing that makes you realize, today may be all I have. Tomorrow is not promised, but today I want to be a tree of life. I want to give strength. I want to give shade and comfort. I want to produce the fruit that the Lord intended, and to be nourished and watered and to grow. Thank you for your time.